God's peace is a real thing, something He wants you to personally experience. This is the sixth message in the series, Hallowed Be Your Name, Discovering the God of Promises. The message is entitled, The God Who Gives Peace. Here is Pastor Dale O'Shields.
If you have your Bibles available for you today, or if you'd like to do so, you can turn to the book of Judges, chapter 6. We'll be there in just a few moments as we continue our series of messages together entitled, The God of Promises. We're taking a look at the names of God. When Jesus taught us to pray, His disciples actually asked Jesus a question one day, Lord, teach us how to pray. John the Baptist teaches His disciples how to pray, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let's stop here just for a moment. That effective prayer, according to Jesus, begins with the honoring or the recognition or the hallowing of the name of God. And you and I cannot honor, we can't effectively hallow or worship God in His fullness without understanding something about His name. And in fact, the name of God is in multiple forms in the Bible because one name is not sufficient to help us to understand who God is. And there are a variety of names associated with our God, His nature and His character. Some of those names are called the Jehovah names of God. There are 8 compound Jehovah names of God, at least 8 in the Scriptures we've been studying in the summer. We talked about Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Nissi and Jehovah Shammah and Jehovah Tsidkenu. And by the way, I want to take a moment and thank all those who were filling in for me. Didn't they do a fantastic job, incredible job teaching us on these various aspects of the names of God? And so today we're going to turn our attention to another name of God. You can't hallow God unless you understand His names and understand them effectively. And so I want to talk to you today about Jehovah Shalom. Would you say His name with me? Jehovah Shalom. Let's say it again together. Jehovah Shalom. And this name, Jehovah, the I am that I am, Shalom, and I'll unpack that word for you in just a moment. This revelation of the name of God, who He is found in the book of Judges, chapter 6. And let me read for you. I'm going to read a number of verses. They will be on the screens for you, but I wanted to set the entire context for this today as we look at the revelation of the name Jehovah Shalom. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years He gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Very important statement. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds whenever the Israelites planted their crops. The Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Verse 6, Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, He sent them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the land or the hand of the Egyptians. And I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But, notice this, you have not listened to me. There's the crux of the problem. You didn't listen to me. Instead of worshiping me, God says, and me only, you embrace the gods of the Amorites and those around you and worship idols. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord came down and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash Abrazite, where his son Gideon, here we now are introduced to this character that's very important to today's story, Gideon, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened, and where are all the wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied. But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. Gideon replied, if now I've found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that I know that it's really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I will wait until you return. Gideon went inside, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and place them on this rock and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, alas, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, what's the word? Peace. Do not be afraid. You're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abrazites. That statement, the altar that was built, as it says in verse 24, it was named the Lord is peace in the original language, that is Jehovah Shalom. There that day, Gideon experienced the Lord who is Shalom, the Lord who is our peace. We find a counterpart passage of Scripture that points us very specifically to this peace, this fact that the Lord is our peace in the book of Philippians. We're going to be looking at this verse multiple times today, but let me introduce it to you right now in chapter 4, Philippians verse 6. The Bible clearly says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If you continue in verse 9 to that same chapter, Paul then says, if you do this, if you present your request to God, you find the peace of God, you think the right way, the God of peace will be with you. Here in these passages that I've just read to you, the Lord reveals to us the reality that He is Jehovah Shalom. What is His name? Jehovah Shalom. I want to share with you today five lessons that will help us to embrace and experience Jehovah Shalom in each of our lives in a new and fresh way. Number one, God wants you to experience His peace. This is what we see according to Scripture. We see that God wants you, that's a very important pronoun there, not someone else. We have a tendency to project the promises of God onto someone else. Well, maybe they deserve it, I don't, but I want you to hear today that God wants you to not just mentally know about the concept of peace, He wants you, say the word with me, to experience peace. Very different thing to be able to define peace mentally or even from a dictionary rather than simply knowing what peace is. I would prefer to experience peace and not be able to define it than rather define it and not be able to experience it. How about you? Okay. So the reality of peace is something that God wants to bring to your life. And so in this passage that we read from Judges chapter 6 a few moments ago, as I said, the Lord introduced Himself to Gideon and to us as Jehovah Shalom. And so this word Shalom is a very important word. What does it mean? The Lord is our peace. Well, this Hebrew term for Shalom is a very rich, very comprehensive, exhaustive term. It's far more than just hope you feel good. It's not just a feel-good thing. It goes much deeper than that. Actually, the Hebrew word for shalom speaks of wholeness and contentment and satisfaction and security. It speaks of the absence of war, the absence of conflict, the absence of tension, the absence of distress, the absence of stress, the absence of worry, the absence of anxiety, being at a place of total security in your life. In fact, that word is still used often today in synagogues around the world. And if you go to Israel, you will often hear people say to you as a greeting, shalom. Not just a hope you feel good, but I pray that you'll be whole and contented and satisfied and secured. And there'll be an absence of war and conflict and tension and stress and distress and anxiety and worry in your life. I think I'm a candidate for shalom. How about you? Do you need some of that in your life? Okay. Well, the story of Gideon is the story of God bringing shalom to a man. He experiences it. And ultimately to an entire nation. A nation is going to experience the shalom of God. And we learn some valuable lessons from this. But before I lay out the lessons that we learn, I want to remind you that God has always wanted peace for His people. God wants you to live in peace. In fact, you'll remember the story of how the children of Israel were led out of Egyptian slavery after 400 years, and Moses led them to the Red Sea, and God made a way where there was no way, and they went across the Red Sea on dry ground, and they head toward the Promised Land. Ultimately, 40 years later, they make it into the Promised Land, and I want you to listen to what God said to His people when they made it into the Promised Land. In Leviticus 26:6, He says, "I will give you peace in the land, and you will be able to sleep with no cause for fear. I will rid the land of wild animals and keep your enemies out of your land." God says, now that you're in the Promised Land, I don't want you just to be in the land. I want you to have peace where? In the land. Not just occupy the land, but to have peace in the land. So what is this peace all about? What do we need to know about this peace? Here are three things you need to know about this peace. Number one, it's made possible and promised to us by Jesus. You can't have peace apart from Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so to have real peace, the shalom of God, you need a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And in fact, Jesus Himself made this promise of peace to us also. In John 14, He's getting ready to go to the cross for crucifixion, will ultimately rise from the dead, ascend back to the right hand of God the Father. He's talking to His disciples and to us as well. And He says, I am leaving with you. I'm going away back to heaven, but I'm leaving with you a gift. What is the gift? Peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Who gives this gift? Jesus gives this gift. He says, I give you a gift. And so the gift of peace, the gift of shalom, comes no other way except through the pathway of Jesus. And then we learn according to Scripture that this peace is to be, as I mentioned a moment ago, a very real personal experience. Again, not a concept in your mind, but an experience in your life, something that you know in your own life and can experience it, not just an imagination of something. Let's take us back again to this passage that we're going to look at multiple times today in Philippians chapter 4. I'm reading from the Living Bible. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. If you do this, you will experience. Notice what will happen. You will not just know about, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. So it comes through Jesus. It's something that He wants you to experience, and it's something also that needs to be a reality in your relationships. Because you not only need peace personally, but you need peace in the relationships of your life. So you can be at peace yourself, but that peace is not going to remain very long if you have troubled relationships. And so peace permeates not only our own life that we experience it, but in the relationships of our life. That's why the Apostle Paul gives us this instruction in Romans 14, 19. Let us therefore make every effort to put your whole heart into doing what leads to peace and a mutual edification. And so we must understand that God's plan for your life is peace. Would you say together with me, God's plan? Say it with me. God's plan for my life is peace. Let's put it all together. God's plan for my life is peace. What is God's plan for your life? God's plan for your life is not just to know about peace, but to experience peace. Here's the second lesson for today. Although God's plan for our life is peace, here's reality. Peace is not always present. God wants it for you and for me, but the problem is it's not always present. I think we would all agree that we live in a fairly non-peaceful world, okay? There's a lot of trouble around us. I mean, all you need to do is read the news. You see all the trouble that's going on in the world around us. So it's not a peaceful world. And oftentimes, we don't live peaceful lives. And so while God wants us to experience peace, it's not always a reality. And we must remember that a person without God is a person without peace, and a world without God is a world without peace. People talk about, oh, when are we going to ever have world peace? Let's pray for world peace. Well, we certainly should pray for world peace, but let me tell you when world peace is going to come. When the Prince of Peace returns again and sits on his throne and rules forever and ever, then suddenly we'll know what real peace is all about. Until that time, we have an agitator that exists in our world. He's called the devil, and he loves to stir things up. There's an enemy of your soul, an enemy of our world, the adversary that wants to do everything possible to keep you from experiencing the peace of God. And this is exactly what was going on in the life of Gideon and the nation of Israel during this particular time of the judges that we read about a few moments ago. Here's Gideon and the nation of Israel, but they were experiencing anything but peace. Instead of experiencing the peace of God, as we read a few moments ago, the Israelites were being tormented and oppressed and humiliated and impoverished by the enemies, the Midianites. Here's what they would do. Every time Israel would plant crops, they would be excited about the harvest. Everything's looking good. Going to be a great harvest this year. The Midianites, the Amalekites, would see the harvest of Israel, and they would come in and ravage all of their harvest and take it away so that the Israelites were left with nothing. And this happened for 7 years straight. 7 years. They're going through this terrible time in Israel. And the people of God had no peace. They were living in fear and anxiety that this enemy was going to ravage them. And the very thing that God wanted them to experience in the land, they were not experiencing in the land. What did God want them to experience in the land? Peace. Was there any peace there? No, there was no peace there. The same can be true for you and me, dear brother and sister, in our lives as Christians. We can be in the promised land, that is, have salvation in our lives, but not be living in the peace of God. There are a lot of us, even as Christians, that know Christ, understand something about His Word, but we're still living overwhelmed with a lack of peace, with worry and fear, and it troubles all of us from time to time. I'm not exempt from it, and neither are you. You and I must learn how to enter into the peace that God has planned for each one of us. And that leads me to my third point today. Following God's process is what leads to God's peace. You can be a Christian and not have peace. Anybody can testify to that reality, right? So how do we get this peace that Jesus promised? How do we receive the gift? How do we unpack the gift of peace in our lives? Well, it happens when we follow God's process. So there's a process in place. And in Judges chapter 6, we see God stepping into the lives of His people to restore peace, not only to Gideon, but to the entire nation. Even though Israel was responsible for losing the peace because they had not listened to God, we read that a moment ago, they were the reason that they no longer had peace. But nevertheless, God steps in and says, I'm going to bring about a process that will restore peace to your lives. And I'm here to tell you today, and I hope that you'll hear this with faith in your heart, that today can be your day when peace comes to live in you. Peace can be freshly reestablished in your life. If you've lost your peace recently and you're worrying about something, you're anxious, you're afraid, you're troubled by something, and you can't find rest on the inside, today can be your day if you'll follow the process. And God chose Gideon. He said, Gideon, I'm going to make an example of you. And He chose Gideon. I'm going to make something out of you. I'm going to bring peace to you. And out of the peace that I bring to you, peace will come to the nation. And so Gideon had to experience a renewal of God's peace personally before he could be used by God to bring peace to the nation around him. And that's how God always starts. If you want peace in a family, maybe peace needs to start with you. Amen. If you want peace in your business, maybe peace needs to start with you. And this is exactly what happens. God needed someone that he could start the process with. And God said, Gideon, I chose you. I want peace in my land. But to get peace in my land, I need peace in a man first. And so when I get it in the man, I can get it in the land. So peace in any place happens when people in that place begin to discover peace. So when you first meet Gideon in the passage, let's go back just for a minute and remember how we meet him. Do you remember where Gideon was when we first met him? The Bible says that he was in a cave, and he was threshing out a little bit of wheat back in this cave because he knew he'd got a little bit of wheat, and what were the Midianites doing every time the harvest would come in? They would come in and steal all the harvest, and so Gideon got a little bit of food for his family, and he runs into a cave, and he begins to thresh out, gets all the bad stuff away so that the wheat that he needs for his family can be usable, and there he is hiding in a cave in fear and in worry, and God found him in the midst of his fear. If you're in fear today, you're in a cave today emotionally, God knows right where you are. Amen. He knows right where you are. And he found this anxious, fearful man, and God intervenes in this moment and led him through a process that brought him to peace. And let me walk you through this process that brought Gideon to peace and that will bring you to peace as well. Here are things that must happen. Number one, you got to believe that peace is God's plan for you. We've already said that, but I want to reiterate it. You must believe today that living in worry and living in fear and living in anxiety is not God's highest plan for your life. What is God's plan for your life? Help me out, church. What is God's plan for your life? Peace. Jesus said, I give you peace. So that's God's, you got to believe that that's true for you. The second thing that's necessary is you've got to get right with God. Okay, this is always essential. This is what happened with Gideon. He had to reestablish his relationship with God. Israel had to reestablish her relationship with God. And the same is true for you and me. If you're walking away from God, you're not going to have any peace, okay? If you're living life your own way and you're disregarding God, not going to have any peace. Don't try to be disobedient and peaceful at the same time. Just doesn't work, okay? So you have to get lined back up with God again. Say, Lord, I'm coming back. Here's the beautiful thing. If you're walking away from God today, all you need to do is turn around and walk right back to him. You don't have to worry whether he's going to accept you or not. He's already said, if you'll come back to me, I'll receive you into myself. And so there's this choice that we make to come back to God, and maybe there's someone here today or someone listening today that's where you are. You have no peace in your life because you've been walking a distance from God. So get right with God. Come back to God today. Here's the next thing that's necessary. You and I need to open our heart and mind to a new perspective of our problems, and that perspective needs to be God's perspective. This is exactly what happened with Gideon. He's in this little cave. He's threshing out a little bit of food for his family. He's afraid. He's worried. How am I going to take care of my family? And he's living in this cave of darkness. And God shows up and says, oh, mighty man of valor. Now think about that for a moment. Would that make you scratch your head? Who are you talking to? You're certainly not talking to me, right? I don't feel very much like a mighty man of valor, but God saw something in Gideon that Gideon didn't see in himself. And God called Gideon to be something that Gideon never thought he could be himself. And there in that moment, God speaks to Gideon and he says, I want to give you a new perspective. You feel like you're defeated. I say you're a mighty warrior. You see the perspective of the Midian stealing from you, but I want you to rise up and to make a stand against the enemy of Israel, and I will be with you, and there will be victory. I want your perspective to change. Let me tell you this morning, you heard me say it before. You've probably said it before yourself or heard others say it. God is bigger than any problem you have in your life, okay? He is bigger. He's greater. He's stronger. And so this perspective needed to change. Here's the next thing that had to occur for Gideon. You got to believe in the ability of God to do what you can't do. Gideon said, God, you don't, who are you talking to? I'm nobody in my family. I'm the least of the least of the smallest tribes of Israel. You certainly wouldn't want me. And God says, not about you. I just need a vessel. I just need somebody that I can use. And so, Gideon, would you just believe that I can do what you can't do? Okay. That I can do for you what you can't do for yourself? Would you believe in my ability? Don't trust in your ability, but trust in my ability. You've got a big problem in your life today. God says, would you just look at me instead of the problem? And would you believe that I can do what you can't do in your life? Would you believe that? And then there's another thing that was necessary as well, to rest in the assurance of God's care and God's power. Just now, Gideon, just go do what I'm going to tell you to do, and just rest to know that I'm with you, and we're going to get this thing done. Victory and peace will come. I'm going to take you back once again to Philippians chapter 4. Look at it one more time with me. Actually, we'll look at it a couple more times today. I want you to pay close attention to this. Here's the process. Why do we not have peace in the land, but we don't have peace right here? Don't worry about... Are you guys awake this morning? Don't worry about... I'm going to keep doing this till everybody helps me, okay? So we'll just let the 11 o'clock service wait outside if we have to, all right?
Don't worry about anything.
Instead. Don't worry about anything. Is that what it says? Are you sure? Don't worry about anything. Instead. There's a change point here. Pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answer. If you do what? If you do this, you will experience, not just know about mentally, be able to explain the concept of, but you'll experience God's peace, God's shalom. You'll experience Jehovah Shalom in your life, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace, shalom, will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. Let me take us now to the fourth point. We'll come back to this in just a moment, okay? At peace is the best way to live. Why does God want you to experience peace? Because at peace is the best way to live, right? Would you agree with me? If God's plan for you is peace, then the best way to live is at peace. And Gideon discovered this as well as Israel. Take a look at Judges chapter 8, what happens here as Gideon rises up and does what God asked him to do, and he experiences Jehovah Shalom. He leads Israel to a great victory over their enemies. So Midian was defeated by the Israelites and was no longer a threat. The problem was dealt with. The land was at peace for 40 years. Until Gideon died. What an amazing story that after 7 years of terrible anxiety and fear and worry and problem after problem after problem and stealing the resources of their lives away, of the Israelites' lives away, for 7 years, Jehovah Shalom shows up on the scene, and Gideon experiences Jehovah Shalom. He rises up and leads the nation to a place of defeating their adversary, and they were no longer a threat. And now for 40 years, Israel is at peace. And the best way to live is to live at peace. Why is living at peace the best way to live? I'll give you some reasons why. Because first of all, when you are at peace, it removes guilt from your life. One of the things that disturbs your peace is guilt. Shame, feeling like you've been a failure, feeling like you haven't lived up to everything that you wanted to live up to or that you felt like God wanted you to live up to. And so the devil shows up in your life with something called condemnation. And when condemnation, when you begin to feel condemned by the failures of your life, you have no peace. You don't feel like you're in right relationship with God. And so you feel like you can't get it right or do it right. And so it robs you of that peace. And so when you come into relationship with God, you follow the process, then there's a removal of peace. You no longer have to feel guilty or ashamed. Condemnation has no more grip upon you. As Paul says in Romans 8, verse number 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So that alone is a benefit. Would you agree? That alone is a benefit. But that's not all. Second of all, it silences your worries and fears and your insecurities. Wouldn't it be wonderful if peace in your heart was louder than worry? How loud is worry sometimes? How loud is anxiety? How loud is fear? Oh, fear can be really loud. Fear is a loud mouth. Worry is very loud, but what if we lived in an environment where peace was louder than our worry, and peace was louder than our fear, and peace was louder than our insecurities? Would that be a good way to live? I think that would be a good way to live. Frees our faith. One of the things that allows you to connect with God is faith. And when you're at peace, your faith operates better. Faith brings peace, and peace allows faith to operate. It grows. It allows you to grow your faith. It energizes your soul and your body. Do you have more energy when you're at peace? Of course you do. You're not as tired. Worry tires you out. That's why we say, I'm sick and tired, okay, of this. Why are you sick and tired? Because you're worrying about it all the time. It's just eating you up. It's draining the resources of your life. And all of us know what that feels like. Here's another thing that's a benefit. It inspires positive action, that when you're at peace, you begin to do productive, proactive things in your life. Being at peace is the best way to live. Let's go now to the final point. God's peace, once you've received it, has to be protected. You can have God's peace and lose it. This happened for the people of Israel. Go back with me to Judges chapter 8. Look what happened. They received peace in the land for 40 years, but as soon as Gideon was dead, the Israelis began to do what? Worship the idols Baal and Baal-berith. They no longer considered the Lord as their God, though he had rescued them from all their enemies on every side. And what they did is, after Gideon had died, this man who introduced them to Jehovah Shalom, they turn back away from God again, and they end up in trouble again, and the people who had peace lost their peace. They drifted back into the same patterns of the past. See, today's peace doesn't ensure tomorrow's peace. Did you hear me? Just because you get peace today, you may leave church this morning. You may go, oh, finally, I got the peace of God. That's amazing. You know what's going to happen tomorrow morning? The devil's going to show up, okay? And he's going to do everything possible to try to take away what you got today. Okay? Try to rob once again and draw you back down to the very thing God did for you today in this moment, because there is a real devil who wants to steal and kill and destroy. So living in God's peace is a day by day, moment by moment decision. I've had days when I've had incredible days of peace, and I've had days when I've been miserably worried. How about you, okay? And sometimes one's on Monday and the next is on Tuesday, okay? Sometimes one is at 10 o'clock, the next one's at 11 o'clock, okay? Are you with me? That we shift back and forth between one and the other. But the question, how do we not only get into God's peace, how do we protect it once it's there? Let me take you back. I'm going to read you this passage once again. You say, Pastor Dale, you've read this so many times already today. I don't care. Okay. I'm going to read it again. Okay? I really don't care.
Don't worry about anything. Instead,
Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Not only does the Apostle Paul help us to understand how to step into peace, but he also teaches us how to keep it, how to protect it. So how do we protect our peace? What does he say here? We protect it with our prayers. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. But there's a specific kind of prayer that he's talking about here. It's the prayer of release. It's the prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of coming to God and saying, God, here's something that's really worrying me right now. And being honest with God about it. I've got so much anxiety and so much fear, God, about this one thing or this multiple conglomeration of things in my life that are worrying me and stressing me out. And God, I don't want to worry about it. I want to pray about it. So I bring it to you and I present it. I tell God my needs. That's prayer, but it's not completion of prayer. You can do that and still not have peace. I prayed about a lot of problems in my life and went away from my prayer closet as worried as I was before I started the prayer. How about you? Come on, be honest with me. Have you? Okay. Prayed about it, but I didn't release it. Okay. I didn't really release it. So this is where I say, God, now I'm going to give this to you. And when I walk out of my proverbial prayer closet, I don't grab the problem and take it with me. I grab faith and take it with me. Okay. I grab trust and take it with me. And that's what he's talking about. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And so we protect, we obtain peace through our prayers, and we protect peace through our prayers and through our words. Notice what he says here. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't miss this part, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. And so it's not just enough to pray. When we walk out of our prayer, we need to begin to consistently verbalize that every time that thought comes again that you were worried about when you talked to God about it, then the first thing, Lord, I thank you that you've got this. I thank you that you're in charge of this. Lord, I thank you that you're already working. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. I don't have to see it. I don't have to feel it, but I can thank you because I presented it to you. And so with our words of gratitude, and then we begin to control our thoughts. Put a rein on your brain. When your brain wants to go crazy on you, you grab hold of that rein and say, no, come back. I'm only going to think about those things that are pure and honorable and lovely and excellent and worthy of praise. I'm tired of the stinking thinking. Amen? Are you tired of the stinking thinking in your life? Okay. If you get tired enough of it, you'll stop it. Okay. Because it leads you to no place but a pit of destruction and a pit of misery. And so we fix our mind on the right things. And then one last thing I'll mention briefly here. You got to make sure you're paying attention to your relationships. Because if you get a relationship where there's lack of peace in a relationship, it's going to ultimately work back into your own soul. The devil uses a lot of times the disruptions in our relationships to affect our own individual peace levels of life. That's why the Bible says that we're not to be angry, not to hold on to anger, not to let the sun go down our anger and give a place to the devil, the Bible says. And a lot of times we open the door to worry and fear because we're holding on to resentment and bitterness in our lives. God has presented to us in his word himself as Jehovah Shalom. He wants you to experience peace. Paul wrote a number of letters to persecuted and troubled Christians. Many times he's addressing them in his words. He writes the believers at Thessalonica who are going through some persecution, and he gives them this prayer. It's a prayer that I want you to hear for you today as we conclude together. Look at this prayer. It's my prayer for you today, my prayer for myself today, my prayer for all of us. May the Lord Himself, who is our source of peace, give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you. May the Lord Himself. I pray this morning, in this moment, in this holy moment that we're in together, dear brother, dear sister, whatever your name is and whatever you're going through, I pray that the Lord Himself right now, who is your source of peace. See, peace doesn't come from money. Peace doesn't come from a job. Peace doesn't come from mental manipulation in your mind. Peace comes from God. He is our source of peace. May the Lord Himself, who is our source of peace, give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you. Would you bow your heads together with me as we pray? Maybe there's a person here today, maybe multiple people here today, or those watching online as well, that you've just been overwhelmed recently with worry and fear. You feel like Gideon in that cave, just pulling away from everything because you're just trying to hold on to life. Fear is eating away at you, and worry has gripped your soul, and you haven't been able to break the bond of that grip recently. And you need to find and experience Jehovah Shalom today in your life. I want to invite you to join me and agree together with me in prayer right now and to affirm your desire for the Lord Jehovah Shalom to set you free just by the lifting of your hand right where you are, the lifting of your hands. If that's been you, if you've been struggling, would you just lift your hands to God right now? I believe it's going to be a ministry moment. Maybe you want to lift both hands to God just as a place of surrender to Him today. Lord, you see the hands that are lifted this morning. You know the burdens and the pain and the worry and the fear that have been eating away at hearts and lives. That's not your plan for us, God. Your plan is that we would have peace. And I pray this morning that Jehovah Shalom, the God who is our peace, would rest upon your people today. And may they know that you are with them. And we ask it in the wonderful and powerful name of Jesus.
I would like to close today by giving you an opportunity to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Would you pray with me right now? Right where you are, just simply bow your head with me, and I'm going to give you a prayer to pray, and you can simply speak this prayer out, whisper this prayer out, and from the sincerity of your heart, call upon God, and I promise you that He will hear and answer you. So let's pray together. Start by simply whispering the name Jesus. Let there come from your heart just the declaration of His name. Say, Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, that I have fallen short with you. I'm sorry for all of my sins. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you are God's Son. I believe that you are the Savior of the world. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the grave, that you are alive today. Now pray these words. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me a new start in you. I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to encourage you with a promise from God's Word that says that when we call upon God's name, we call upon the Son of God, there is salvation that comes to our lives. He changes us from the inside out, and you become a new creation. All things pass away, all things become new. And that's exactly what has happened to you today. Your next step really is to make sure that you get into a good Bible-believing church. And you begin to study God's Word, get God's Word in you, and to make sure that you get a copy of the Bible if you don't have one and begin to read it. Spend some time every day in prayer. And I would encourage you also to check out the resources on our website that will help you to get going in your relationship with Jesus. You can find them at church-redeemer.org. Get those into your hands. Get started in your new life with Jesus Christ. Thanks again for joining us today. May God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next time.